So reading from John's Gospel, chapter 13, and reading from verse 31. And if you're following in the church Bibles, this is on page 1081, right there at the bottom of the page on the right-hand side. And of course, the context to this is that they are celebrating what we understand to be communion. They've shared the Lord's Supper together, the Last Supper. Jesus has knelt down and washed his disciples' feet and so on. And then just immediately before our passage begins, Judas Iscariot, leaves the room and he is on his way to betray Jesus. So chapter 13, verse 31. When he was gone, Jesus said, "Now the Son of Man is glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God will glorify the Son in himself and will glorify him at once. My children, I will be with you only a little longer. You will look for me, and just as I told the Jews, so I tell you now. Where I am going, you cannot come. A new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another." Simon Peter asked him, "Lord, where are you going?" Jesus replied, "Where I am going, you cannot follow now, but you will follow later." Peter asked, "Lord, why can't I follow you now? I will lay down my life for you." Then Jesus answered, "Will you really lay down your life for me? Very truly, I tell you, before the cock crows, you will disown me three times. Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I am going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, so that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going." Thomas said to him, "Lord, we don't know where you're going. So how can we know the way?" Jesus answered, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really know me, you will know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him." Philip said, "Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us." Jesus answered, "Don't you know me, Philip? Even after I have been among you such a long time, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing his work. Believe me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or at least believe on the evidence of the works themselves. Very truly, I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I've been doing, and they will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father. And I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it." Amen. We thank God for his word for us today, and we do pray God's word, written word, may be for us a living word. So, very quick recap. I've been putting this up each week. We've been exploring John's Gospel since the new year. Two key questions that run through John's Gospel. Who is the Messiah, the Christ, the King? That's the key question that's running through. And of course, John, as he writes his Gospel, all the time is unveiling Jesus. Jesus is the King. God's king. But a second question that has been asked and answered here is, what is his kingdom like? What's the nature of the kingdom of Jesus? And John answers these questions by describing signs or miracles, wonders, amazing happenings. And he invites us, as we read them, as we reflect upon them, to consider not simply who the king is, that is Jesus, but the nature of the kingdom comes through those signs. And then there are also a number of sayings that Jesus makes that reflect his nature as well. And right at the end of the gospel, John says, do you know, there are so many amazing things that Jesus did and so many amazing things that Jesus said that if I recorded them all, there wouldn't be enough books in the world to record them. So I've just recorded these few that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ or the King, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. So that's the point of what John's been doing. He wants to reveal Jesus and say, Jesus is the King, this is the nature of his kingdom, and as you read and reflect, you might come to believe in him. You might trust in Jesus and the nature of his kingdom, and you might have life in his name. So we've been looking at all these different signs. Seven signs we've been reflecting on: changing water into wine, healing the royal official's son, healing the paralyzed man at the pool, feeding over 5,000 people, walking on the water, healing the man born blind, and raising Lazarus from the dead. Those are the signs that John describes, and we're only halfway through the gospel by the time we reflect on the raising of Lazarus from the dead. And then there are actually in this gospel seven sayings. Key sayings: I am the bread of life, I am the light of the world, I am the gate for the sheep, I am the good shepherd, and then last time we reflected on, I am the resurrection and the life. So there's two more sayings to go. Here in John 14, we have, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and then the next one comes in John 15. So today, I am the way, the truth, and the life. A verse that I've been aware of, a saying that I've been aware of, and probably many of us have been aware of most of our Christian lives. It's been one that has been repeated many times. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And what I've decided to do is to take my time over this, and I hope that's okay. And we're going to reflect on today, I am the way. I didn't want to rush, and believe me, there's enough to say about I am the way, let alone the truth and the life. But we're going to reflect on I am the way. Now, I'm going to begin with a really simple statement. And it's this. Do you get it? Jesus is the way. Jesus is the way. The way is always a journey. That is what is being described here. Jesus, as he speaks of himself as the way, he's not saying, when you come to me, that's the end of the road. You've arrived, you've completed your life's mission. Jesus is saying, come to me, I am the way. When we connect with Jesus, when we begin following Jesus, we begin a journey. And that journey begins with Jesus. It continues in Jesus. We begin the journey when we begin following Jesus. But then we continue the journey. It's not the full stop. It's not the arrival point. But the journey arrives at the Father. The journey arrives at the Father. It begins with Jesus, it continues in Jesus, and then arrives at the Father. And of course, we're answering the comment that Jesus makes, the statement Jesus makes, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father. That seems to be the destination. The point that we're aiming for as we follow Jesus is to come to know God as Father. But here's an extraordinary thing. And I don't know if you can start think about getting your head around this. The way is always a journey and a destination. Do you want to think about that for a minute? The way is always a journey and a destination. We come to Jesus and we begin our journey. As we follow Jesus, we're continuing our journey. The journey takes us to a revelation, an understanding, a relationship with God as Father. But we continue journeying. The way doesn't end even as we come to know God as Father. The journey continues. So it is both a journey and a destination. So if you know, I might have lost some of you by now. You know, you might be reflecting on that for the rest of the time I'm talking. But believe me, it's true. The way is always a journey and a destination. So there's no sense in which we as Christians, we as disciples, as followers of Jesus, there's no way in which we can say we have arrived. I really don't think we can say that. Now you might say, yes, but we have, but we haven't. We have both arrived and not arrived because we continue to journey. The moment we think we've arrived, we're no longer on the journey. In order to arrive, you must continue on the way. Continue following Jesus. It's a seemingly never-ending journey. That's why Jesus speaks of himself as the way. Not the answer, not the destination, not the goal, but the way. Now, the way is the earliest name for the church. Before Christians were called Christians, they were known as followers of the way. And if you read through the Acts of the Apostles, so we've got Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and then we have the story of what happens next after the death, resurrection, and ascension of Jesus to heaven. We have the story of what happens next as the Christians begin, the believers, the followers of Jesus, begin to communicate the good news about Jesus and live out their lives, understanding what it is to be on the way. They became known as followers of the way. So in Acts chapter 9 and verse 2, we have Saul. We know him better as Paul, but we're told that Saul sought permission to persecute the followers of the way. That was the name of the church. And then in chapter 18, we have a man by the name of Apollos. He had been taught in the way of the Lord. The way, the journey of the Lord. When the Apostle Paul goes to Ephesus, he goes into a synagogue and begins sharing there about Jesus. And we're told that some people didn't like what Paul was saying about the Lord Jesus. And we are told that they began basically shouting abuse at Paul and maligning the way, and they get up and leave. That's in Acts chapter 19. Verse 9. And then a little later on in that same chapter, a riot erupts, would you believe it, in Ephesus. And it's about the way. People are reacting with passion, with anger, with violence against the way. Paul arrives in Jerusalem. Commotion follows, seems to follow Paul wherever he goes. Trouble. People are up in arms, and he's arrested, and Paul says, hang on, I'm a citizen of Rome, you can't do this to me, give me an opportunity to speak. And so Paul stands up in front of this angry crowd and tells his story. And there he tells what was true back in Acts chapter 9, that he says, I persecuted the followers of the way. Later on, when Paul is arrested again, he's taken to Governor Felix. And Paul says there in Acts chapter 24, he says, I have become a follower of the way. And then, remarkably, we're even told in that same chapter that Governor Felix already knew all about the way. Now, why have I told you all of that? Why have I taken time to go through that? To demonstrate that the way, the name, the way, is the earliest name for the church. And it is simply this, that the early believers knew that their faith was about a way of living. That's what they understood. It's not simply believing in God, believing in Jesus, ticking a box in terms of a statement of faith. They understood. And not only the believers, it's those outside as well. These are people on the way. They believe in the way of living of Jesus Christ. And they knew their faith was about a way of living. And that way of living is about living in Jesus. And this phrase, to live in Jesus, what does that mean? What does it mean to live in Jesus? It's about the life of Jesus and your life and us seeking to become more and more like Jesus, for our lives to be based upon, around, and in the teaching and life of Jesus. Later on in the passage that we've read, John's Gospel chapter 14, the passage that Hannah read to us, he says, if you love me, keep my commands. I'll ask the Father. He will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. Jesus begins teaching them about the Holy Spirit. And to live in Jesus is about being filled with the Holy Spirit. It's about learning and obeying the teaching of Jesus. And it's about following the example of Jesus. And so we understand that Jesus is the way. It is a journey and a destination, but still it's a journey. And every time we think we've arrived, we continue moving because Jesus is the way. The way is about a way of living. A way of living, being filled with the Spirit, learning and obeying the teaching of Jesus and following the example of Jesus. The third thing is that the way is about how we live. I might say, we've just said this. The way is about how we live. But what does Jesus say to them? Before he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, he describes a key element of what it means to live in the way of Jesus. John 13, verse 34. Remember what this says? A new command I give you. Remember? Love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. The way is about how we live, but perhaps we need to change that. The way is about how we love. The way of living the life of Jesus is about how we love. So Jesus is the way. And living in Jesus, this lifestyle of love reveals God the Father. Do you notice how Jesus, when he's asked by Philip, Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us. Isn't it interesting or curious that Jesus replies, don't you know me, Philip, even after I've been among you for so long, you don't realize. Anyone who has seen me, says Jesus, has seen the Father. You want to know what God the Father is like? Look at Jesus. That's how we know what the Father is like. And so Jesus invites us to himself, to follow the way. This way of living, a lifestyle filled with the Spirit, learning and responding to, obeying the teaching of Jesus, following the example of Jesus, seeking that love might fill every fiber of our being. And as we do that, we experience the nature of God the Father, because the Father is love. We know that God is love. And so this extraordinary saying of Jesus, I am the way, the truth and the life. I am the way. May we be encouraged today to fix our eyes afresh upon the Lord Jesus. May we be encouraged and strengthened today to begin afresh, perhaps, following in the way of Jesus, taking time to read what the Gospels have to say about Jesus, paying attention to the teaching of Jesus, that we might seek to obey the teaching of Jesus, that we might walk in the way of Jesus. And as we do so, we discover the presence and relationship with God the Father. May God's blessing rest upon us as we do this. In the name of Christ, amen. Amen. Let's pause. Let's pray together. Father, thank you that you are revealed perfectly, wonderfully, beautifully in your Son, the Lord Jesus. And Father, we know that the deep desire, the profound craving in our hearts and lives is that we might know you as Father. And so, Father, we fix our eyes and our thoughts upon the Lord Jesus. We give our attention to him. Father, we pray that you would help us to begin and to continue to walk in the way of Jesus, that as we do so, we might know the joy and the blessing of knowing you, Father, as Father, knowing that you love us with an everlasting love, that you never fail us, you never leave us, and you fill us with your Spirit, that we might have courage in all things to follow you. May your blessing in this rest upon us now and always. Amen.